From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Wednesday, October 16th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Be there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth. The kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. I like this. It says, don't get married only because of the money. You can borrow it cheaper. And that is from Zsa Zsa Gabor. You know, she was a great housekeeper. Yeah, with every divorce, she kept the house.
Bad feeling about this.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blog cast.
Twisted history.
Oh boy.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Gotta be sure.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Really?
You might be quizzed.
Oh, come on, we all know that's not gonna happen. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1923, Walt Disney and his brother, Roy, founded the Disney Brothers Cartoon Studio, today known as the Walt Disney Company, which grew into one of the largest, if not the largest, entertainment companies in the world. And it was on this day in 1973, Henry Kissinger and Lee Duck Tough were awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Which I found interesting, since the war they were trying to resolve continued to grind on for nearly two more years after that.
Get used to disappointment.
According to the Associated Press, Kamala Harris's doctor gave her a note saying that she's in excellent health, physically and mentally. And, well, let me read part of the note to you. It says, and she possesses the physical and mental resiliency required to serve as president. Now, this was in the form of a letter, a formal letter, and it was released back on Saturday, and it summarizes basically her medical history and status. Dr. Joshua Simmons, who's an Army colonel and a physician to the vice president, wrote that Harris, who's 59 now, maintains a healthy, active lifestyle, and that her most recent physical last April was unremarkable. Now, Simmons has said he's been Harris's primary care physician for the past 3.5 years, said the vice president has a history of seasonal allergies and, what is this, urticaria or hives? She's been able to dramatically improve her symptoms over the past 3 years with an immunotherapy medication that helps the body become less sensitive to allergens. Anybody know which one that might be? I could use that. Simmons then said that Harris' latest blood work and her test results were unremarkable. Her blood pressure is not worryingly high, and she's at a low risk for heart disease. And that's kind of cool. So she's out there waving the letter around. I'm in good health, et cetera, so forth. And she could have left it at that. But when she was at Joint Base Andrews the other day, what are the odds? A Fox News reporter showed up. Listen to this.
What do you think about President Trump's mental acuity and whether it's declined since, say, his 2016 campaign?
I invite the public to watch his rallies and be the decision maker on his acuity. And you will see in his rallies how he goes off on tangents, how he is not focused on the needs of the American people with solutions to the issues that concern them the most.
Wow, if that isn't ever a case of the pot calling out the kettle. You notice how politically correct I said that? The pot calling out the kettle. Anyhow, attacking Donald Trump on his mental acuity and he goes off on tangents. Well, according to Dana White, who rarely posts anything on social media that's not UFC related, not only is Kamala in way over her head right now, but we should all be scared of the possibility that she could truly become president of the United States. And he referenced her appearance with Stephen Colbert to prove his point. That didn't go very well. I would like to play you some audio here regarding her appearance. Now, understand there's some music that's been dubbed in because this is taken off of X and somebody did a little post-production on it, put a music track behind it. But I want you to listen to the clip that follows Kamala Harris because it's just downright hilarious.
Polling shows that a lot of people, especially independent voters, really want this to be a change election. Mm-hmm. And that they tend to break for you in terms of thinking about change. Mm-hmm. You are a member of the president administration. Mm-hmm. Under a Harris administration, what would the major changes be and what would stay the same?
Sure. Well, I mean, I'm obviously not Joe Biden.
I know.
And so that would be one change in terms of. But also, I think it's important to say with, 28 days to go, I'm not Donald Trump. And so when we think about the significance of what this next generation of leadership looks like, were I to be elected president, it is about, frankly, I love the American people and I believe in our country. I love that it is our character and nature to be an ambitious people. You know, we have aspirations, we have dreams, we have incredible work ethic, and I just believe that we can create and build upon the success we've achieved in a way that we continue to grow opportunity. And
what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
I love that. May God have mercy on your soul. So that's what Dana White tweeted. And, it's fun to watch this. But it would be more fun if I knew conclusively that at the end of all this, Donald Trump would be the winner. I think he will be. The Department of Justice is suing Virginia after they worked to remove non-citizens and residents from their voter rolls in compliance with an election integrity campaign. The DOJ is accusing Virginia of removing voters too close to election day. Now, here's how Trending Politics reported it. I like the way they write stuff. The U.S. Department of Justice is suing the Commonwealth of Virginia, accusing them of removing voters from rolls too close to Election Day. Virginia has worked to remove non-citizens and residents who've failed to confirm their residency after Governor Glenn Youngkin signed an executive order aimed at election integrity earlier this year. The complaint alleges that the State Board of Elections and Virginia Commissioner of Elections, Susan Beals, violated the Federal National Voter Registration Act, also known as the NVRA, which mandates that states must complete voter roll maintenance no later than 90 days before an election under a clause known as the Quiet Period Provision. The agency is accusing Governor Youngkin of violating the NVRA by requiring the state's election commissioner to regularly update the state's voter logs to remove individuals who have been identified as non-citizens or have failed to respond to requests to verify citizenship within 14 days. Well, Governor Youngkin rejected the DOJ's characterization of his executive order in an ex post. Quoting, with less than 30 days until the election, the Biden-Harris Department of Justice is filing an unprecedented lawsuit against me and the Commonwealth of Virginia for appropriately enforcing a 2006 law to remove non-citizens from the voter rolls. Well, Donald Trump, of course, blasted the DOJ over this, saying it's one of the greatest examples of DOJ weaponization. Let me go ahead and read what Trump wrote on his Truth Social platform. He said, one of the greatest examples of DOJ weaponization is the fact that they're suing Virginia to put all of the illegal voters, which were fully exposed and removed by the important work of Governor Glenn Youngkin, back on the voter rolls. Obviously, this was done so they can cheat on the election. So sad. What has happened to our once great country? Well, I think we all know what's happened to our once great country. When you have a political party that politicizes everything, has a political motive behind virtually everything and anything that they do, then this is what we can expect. I think the only way that we can find justice is to start taking each little incident that the Democrat Party brings forth and take it to the Supreme Court. As you know, tensions between China and Taiwan have been increasing a lot, particularly since Joe Biden took the White House, because we as a nation have projected nothing but weakness. And China initiated some large-scale military exercises around Taiwan. I think it was starting on Friday. And these drills have been branded as Joint Sword 2024B. And this comes as a direct response to comments made by Taiwan's new president, Lai Ching-te, during her recent National Day speech, in which she reiterated Taiwan's sovereignty and rejected China's claim over the island. Well, that didn't sit too well with Xi Jinping and company. The exercises were framed by Beijing as a stern warning to separatist forces in Taiwan's government. I would like to put that term separatist forces in quotes, okay? Now, China's military drills, led by the PLA, People's Liberation Army, included air and sea maneuvers involving fighter jets, warships, Coast Guard vessels, encircling Taiwan from multiple directions. And the exercise is focused on combat readiness, blockading key Taiwanese ports, and simulating maritime and ground assaults. Beijing views these operations as essential to defending its sovereignty, projecting strength, that sort of thing, particularly as tensions over Taiwan's independence have grown since Lai's election back in January. Now, China had labeled her a dangerous separatist shortly after her election victory, setting the stage for heightened military activities throughout the year. And this latest round of military drills is reminiscent of the 2022 exercises following then U.S. House Speaker Pelosi's visit to Taiwan. Do you remember that? Yeah, that when she went over there to Taiwan. And I'm not saying that she shouldn't have gone, but when she went over there, because I'm no fan of Nancy Pelosi, but when Pelosi went over there to visit Taiwan, she did kick up a hornet's nest. And at that time, China staged live fire drills. But the scale and intensity of the 2024 operations are more extensive now. And this kind of reflects Beijing's increasing, I guess call it frustration, with Taiwan's push for greater global recognition and rejection of Chinese reunification. Taiwan's defense ministry reported sightings of at least 15 PLA warships and numerous fighter jets in the region, with some encroaching into Taiwanese airspace, further heightening the island's alert status. Now, China's actions appear to be part of a broader strategy, of course, to intimidate the Taiwanese government. And I would imagine also to intimidate Taiwan's allies like us, say, and then at the same time testing their military capabilities. So the inclusion of China's Coast Guard in the drills marks a notable development, as the Coast Guard worked in tandem with the Navy, the Chinese Navy, to enforce maritime claims, simulating a potential blockade of Taiwan in the event of a future conflict. And, of course, most people in the know are betting that there will be a future conflict, and it won't be pretty. Because experts are suggesting that these drills are also an opportunity for China to evaluate their aircraft carrier, Liaoning, which played a central role in the maneuvers following recent repairs. Now, they have this new aircraft carrier. I think it's pronounced Liaoning. Anyhow, it's supposedly a real high-tech, latest thing on the block kind of a structure. But they've been having problems with it, some real problems with it. It's down every couple of days for repairs. So despite China's aggressive posturing, Taiwan remains resolute. The island's mainland affairs council stated that Taiwan would not be cowed by military threats, emphasizing that life on the island continues as usual, despite the frequent displays of Chinese military force. Now, a lot of Taiwanese citizens have become accustomed to these drills, though concerns naturally persist over the potential for a serious military escalation. I mean, Xi Jinping has pretty much said he intends to invade Taiwan by 2027. Now, international responses to China's latest drills have been pretty quick, actually. Of course, we were the first on the block to condemn the move. U.S. officials reaffirming their commitment to supporting Taiwan's defense through arms sales and diplomatic efforts. Because Washington views Taiwan as a critical partner in maintaining regional stability in East Asia, especially given its strategic location and, of course, their democratic governance. And meanwhile, Japan and other regional powers have also expressed concern about China's increasing militarization in the Taiwan Strait. Now, the exercises are widely seen as a prelude to a potential conflict. And again, when it comes to that term potential conflict, I keep thinking 2027. With China increasingly willing to flex its military might in an effort to pressure Taiwan into reunification. So the Biden administration has repeatedly warned that any military action against Taiwan would have significant consequences, although the exact nature of the U.S. response remains unclear, and maybe that's the way it should be. Never show your hand. Make the threats, but never show your hand. And for now, China appears content to use these drills as both a show of force and a test of their growing military capabilities, and they are growing. All this while Taiwan stands firm in their pursuit of maintaining its de facto independence. Well, our boy Trump has confirmed that he's going to appear on Joe Rogan's popular, very popular, in fact, I think the most popular podcast in the world, the Joe Rogan Experience. And this is a move that most watchers, political watchers, see as a very strategic play to reach Rogan's diverse audience. He has a very diverse audience, but it's largely a male audience, mostly male. And the announcement came during Trump's interview on the Full Send podcast with the Nelk Boys, where he casually mentioned, "Yeah, I think I'm doing it actually," in response to a question about joining Rogan's show. Now, this appearance marks an important moment in Trump's media strategy, which has actually been very good, because he's ramping up his presence on non-traditional platforms, and that's where you really reach people. You're going to find a lot more truth on non-traditional platforms than you will in a mainstream media. Believe me, my friend. So as part of a whirlwind of podcast interviews, Trump's been making rounds on various shows, including appearances with comedians like Theo Von and Andrew Schultz. So Trump has made it pretty clear that his ability to connect with a broader audience, especially younger male voters who are heavily represented in Rogan's listener base, gives him a bit of an edge when it comes to actually making contact with voters. Now, I don't think we have to worry about the male vote where Donald Trump is concerned. But when you really make a connection with the male voters, you indirectly make a connection with the female voters, because most of these males have a relationship with a female somewhere, right? So Trump's decision to join Rogan's podcast comes at a very critical time, because we're only weeks away from the election. Hard to believe, thank God. And the move is seen as an attempt to reach the so-called MMA bros and other male voters who are often politically disengaged but resonate with Rogan's brand of rugged individualism and open dialogue. Now, Rogan's show is known for its long-form, unfiltered conversations. Yeah, F-bombs fly all over the place in Rogan's broadcasts, but hey, that's the internet for you. You know, put on your big boy pants when you go to listen or to watch the show. And his show offers a unique platform for Trump to present himself as both relatable and tough on key issues like free speech and government overreach. Now, I don't know how much you know about Joe Rogan. A lot of people still going around, who's Joe Rogan? Who's Joe Rogan? Well, he was an actor. He was a stand-up comic. He's a former UFC commentator. And he commands one of the largest audiences in the entire podcast world. And his influence has been likened to the media giants of the past. You know, like Rush Limbaugh. Though not explicitly conservative, Rogan appeals to a demographic that values free thinking. So he hasn't officially aligned with one side or the other. He's of course, you can tell by watching his show that he's leaning toward Donald Trump. But he's doing it organically, not out of loyalty to a party. So his show regularly hosts controversial figures from across the entire political spectrum. So it makes it an attractive platform for Trump in particular to bolster his outreach, his contact with voters. So this appearance is going to highlight a shift in how political figures are engaging with voters. Traditional television interviews are no longer the only way to reach the masses, thank God, because television is so biased toward the left. And by leveraging popular platforms like Rogan's, Trump can talk directly to millions of Americans who may not tune into the mainstream political programming. I mean, a lot of people are put off by mainstream media political programming for obvious reasons. So the Rogan interview, like others Trump has done recently, is expected to be dissected and shared widely on social media, further amplifying Trump's message, which is a good thing. Interestingly, Rogan had previously resisted the idea of interviewing Trump at all because he was citing concerns about how divisive Trump is. But Rogan's team, because he works with a team of people, and they recently posted a poll on social media asking whether viewers wanted to see Trump on the show, signaling a potential change of heart and recognizing the sheer demand for an episode like this. So with Trump confirming his participation, you got a lot of people speculating about the topics that are going to dominate the conversation. I mean, aside from his presidential campaign, Rogan's audience is going to likely be interested in hearing Trump's takes on issues like censorship, government control, and even lighter subjects like UFOs. You know, topics that regularly make the rounds on Rogan's program. See, Rogan's reputation for being a fair but challenging interviewer means that the conversation could cover a wide range of issues, providing Trump an opportunity to appeal to both conservative voters and libertarians who make up a significant portion of Rogan's audience. This is a shrewd move on Trump's part. It's an excellent move, and it's certainly not going to hurt Trump in any way. So it'll certainly have a substantial impact on Trump's outreach, particularly among younger male voters. Believe me, the younger male voters are crucial to this election. And this underscores how digital platforms, especially long-form podcasts, have become pivotal in shaping political campaigns, allowing candidates like Trump and others to bypass traditional media filters and speak directly to voters. Lord knows, there won't be any fact-checking. Dr. Michael Savage, on more than one occasion, has referred to Hollywood as that sewer pipe out of Hollywood. And in their continuing effort to woke its comic book characters, Marvel Comics has now race-swapped one of its iconic superheroes, who's historically been white, and they've replaced him with a Native American who's non-binary and has they, them pronouns. This is all true, according to an account from Warner Todd Houston in Breitbart.com. Now, the news story follows the efforts of the Avengers to fix the alternate Earth that is referred to in the storyline as Earth 6160. Now, this is an Earth where all the people who became heroes with superpowers in other realities never quite came into their abilities. For instance, on Earth 6160, Spider-Man never appeared because Peter Parker was never bitten by a radioactive spider. Along with Parker, all the other heroes also missed their calling on this alternate Earth. I keep getting the emphasis on the wrong syllable there. So the Avengers decide to steer those who are superheroes on other Earths to take up the mantle on Earth 6160 also. When it comes time to steer Clint Barton, played by Jeremy Renner in the Marvel movies, into his role as the uncannily accurate archer, Hawkeye, the Barton of Earth 6160, refuses to take up the bow. Instead, a new person takes up the mantle of Hawkeye, and the character couldn't be more woke. After Barton refused to agree to take on the role that other Bartons on other Earths have, a new character named Charlie Ramsey, that's Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I, of course, who becomes the Avengers archer. And his pronouns are they, them. For Ramsey, you see, is an American Indian who claims to be non-binary or genderqueer. Yeah, they've lost their minds out there on the left coast, for sure. Now, the series writer, whose name is Deniz Camp, that's D-E-N-I-Z, Camp, took to his X account to sell the new character, writing, "First appearance of our Hawkeye. We worked hard to make them cool, different, and yet undeniably Hawkeye." Yeah. Well, this isn't the first time that Marvel used a Hawkeye product to push the radical gay agenda. In 2021's Disney Plus streaming series, Hawkeye, producers gave a partial introduction to a little-used super-named Bombshell during one of the episodes. Now, Bombshell is an explosives expert named Wendy Conrad in the comic books, but was not said to be a lesbian when introduced in 1983, but that changed, of course, in the streaming series. The Wendy Conrad introduced on screen had one of Hawkeye's trick arrows to return to him. And she placed the arrow in a bag, but when she went to hand it to Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye on screen, she tells him that her wife, gave her the bag and that she wants Hawkeye to return it to her when he's done, thereby remaking the character as a lesbian, say. Oh, they just can't go far enough, can they, when it comes to being radical? So Marvel has spent an inordinate amount of time retconning characters to bow to the gay agenda over the last 20 years or so, and the movies and streaming series only ramped that up many times over. To name just a few, in 2021, Marvel officially made the Thor character, Loki, a bisexual. The movie producers also introduced a gay character in its Eternals film, which flopped hard at the theater. And this year, Marvel's streaming series, Agatha All Along, features a gay teenager as one of its main protagonists. Obviously, they just can't get radical enough. To the Comedy Corner with Jesse Egan.
What a great crowd. Nice looking crowd. A lot of ladies. Any single ladies? Do we have any chubby chasers in this bunch? Because I am easy to catch, gals. Quick game of tag after the show. It'll be freeze tag. I'm not moving. Just stand still and you win. That's how it works. No, I'm single. I found it's tough being single when you drive a smart car. I found that out the hard way, you know. You really can't holler at the ladies from a smart car. I've tried, you know. I roll up, what up? No, just looks like I'm wearing it. Women are like, is that a metal backpack you got on? What the hell? It's cute, I guess. I'm like, no, it's my car. Don't make me honk the horn and prove it. Like, it's so pathetic. Just sounds like women when they see me in that car. They're just like, No, drive along. Move along, metal fanny pack. Get a real car, maybe we'll talk. More, it's like, I wasn't gonna give you a ride anyway, okay? Actually, I can't. My right cheek already called shotgun tonight, so get to stepping. Move along, sister. Give you a ride? I don't think so. I don't know, I'm trying to figure out what women want, you know? I think they want a man with a truck and a horse. And a dog the size of a horse that drives trucks. I don't know what they want. I really have no idea. I just rescued a kitten. So, if you're looking for a tough guy, his name is Sir Meows-a-Lot. I call him Meowsy, and he's very sweet. I spoil him, you know. At one point, he had like 3 different litter boxes. Which is pretty unnecessary because he always goes to the bathroom in the exact same houseplant, so didn't really need to do that. But thinking about putting a picture of him on my dating profile, you know? I don't look like this online. You know, nobody does. I look like a Pitt Clooney hybrid, you know? I went out with one girl. I didn't look like me. She didn't look like her. I was like, hey, we catfished each other. How about that? Pretty sweet. So.
Make it a wonderful Wednesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.